Welcome to Hope Unveiled, the podcast that guides you on a transformative journey toward a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. We are Sunrise Church of Surrey, British Columbia, Canada, and our mission is to carry the hope and purpose of Jesus to those who may feel far from God. In each episode, we'll dive deep into the teachings of Jesus, offering practical insights and guidance for your faith journey. Whether you're taking your first steps in faith or seeking to deepen your existing relationship with Christ, we invite you to join us on this journey to embrace the hope that transforms lives.
Good morning, everyone. How are we all doing today? Can we give a... can we get one more round of applause just for our kids that were leading us in worship today? That was truly amazing. I don't know if they do it intentionally here because I'm the pastoral apprentice here. If I haven't met you, and I'm young, I don't know why. If that's intentional to like. Combine the young pastoral apprentice with the kids leading worship. I don't know. I might be making this up, but Pastor Chris, if you're watching, we're going to chat later. So we'll see. But why don't we, let's just get right into it. We've been in a series together called The Spiritual Life. And as Pastor Braden mentioned a couple minutes ago, that we will be wrapping up this series together. How many of you have enjoyed the series? Put your hands up. Awesome. How many of you have found it informative and helpful to your spiritual journey? Put your hand up. Awesome. And how many of you are ready to use your spiritual gifts to serve the body of Christ? Put your hand up. There we go. Here we go. Well done. So I'm going to be quizzing you guys on some of the main points today. So we'll see how well you are good at that. But I'm going to invite you to stand, and we're going to read our teaching text this morning. From 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 1. And we've been doing this for a number of weeks now, but we stand to honor God with both our minds and our bodies, and we believe that His Word is alive and active, that the words on this page in this book weren't just written down for us to read with our minds, but that they are God-breathed, meaning they can give us life. And so we stand to both honor God and respect Him for being the one who has breathed these words into being. 1 Corinthians 13, starting verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I offer up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but it rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away, and as for tongues, they will cease, and as for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in the mirror dimly, and then face to face. For I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. The last two verses here. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three remain, but the greatest of these is love. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Let's just hold our hands out in front of us like this. Father, we invite your spirit that is already here to come. And as we hear You teach us, Father. I pray that you would speak to our hearts, and I pray that you would move us to action. We thank you, Father, for your word that is alive and active and able to bring us life today. We honor you. We recognize you as the author and the finisher of our faith. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. And so, as I mentioned before, we've been in a series for a number of weeks talking about the spiritual life. We've talked about what the spiritual gifts are. We've talked about how we can receive them and how we can use them. And today we're going to conclude this series by answering this question of what does this life look like? What does a life transformed by the use of spiritual gifts actually look like? That's the question. That's the aim. That's the target of where we're going. And I have the honor to wrap up the series and put everything in concise order. But before we get to that, how many of you like breakfast? Put your hand up. Like breakfast? Yeah? I'm not serving breakfast. Are you serving breakfast, Sam? How many of you believe that breakfast is the most important meal of the day? Put your hand up. Yeah? Some of you? Good. A number of years ago, my wife and I got married 5 years ago, and one of the gifts that we got for our wedding, for beginning our life together, was this beautiful breakfast sandwich maker. Does anyone have one of these? Yeah, Sam, you're my man today. Awesome. These things are legendary, are they not? So I love breakfast, and now I know that some of you love breakfast. The beautiful thing about this is that it's got everything. It's compact, it's easy to use, it's easy to clean, even. And if you love breakfast sandwiches and you love eggs and you can put ham, you can put sausage, you can put bacon, you can put whatever, cheese, it's so delicious and it's so convenient and it's so fast. So we got these as a gift 5 years ago, and I absolutely loved it. I used it pretty much every single day for a number of weeks. And my father-in-law, who's actually English, he loved these so much too. And so we kind of came up with this deal together because me and him both share a passion for the game of soccer or the game of football. And he is an avid supporter of Newcastle in the English Premier League, if any of you know that team. They have a rich history, and now they have potential to be even better. And I don't know anybody else, and this is not an overstatement at all, but I don't know anyone else who makes breakfast as delicious as my father-in-law. And if you're thinking right now that I'm being super offensive to my wife, I'm not, because my wife is allergic to eggs, so she can't actually eat eggs. And so hence the breakfast maker for myself, for my father-in-law. And so it was not uncommon for us to, on Saturdays, many Saturdays, we would watch a game together. My father-in-law would make us tea, again, because he's English, black Tetley tea, only Tetley tea, as I learned. And I would make him and I these delicious breakfast sandwiches. I would use this gift that was given to me and share it with somebody else so that we could both participate in the use of the gift. And I love to say that I'm still using this gift, but if I'm going to be completely truthful today, this gift is not really, I haven't really been putting it into use lately, and now it's more of just an eyesore in the cupboard and constantly getting in the way of the other things that I use more frequently, like the rice cooker or the crock pot or things like that. And I'm constantly moving it around. And as I was preparing for this message, I was thinking about trying to think of an illustration of gifts and how the gifts are meant to be used. And to be honest, my wife was the one who thought of this illustration. So let's give her a round of applause for helping me with my sermon. And this might be You know, at some point the analogy breaks down, but I think it's a simple example that when we receive gifts, even in the natural, we want to use those gifts. Gifts that we use and gifts that we share with somebody else actually carry far more greater meaning and far more greater value, right? And so as we've been talking about the spiritual gifts are designed in a similar way, that the spiritual gifts are not for ourselves. Yes, God has given us spiritual gifts, but we are meant to use those gifts to serve his mission and serve his body, which is the church. And when we use our gifts to actually serve, we begin to walk in our true identity as followers, as children, and as his disciples. And so as we've been going through the series, we've talked about a number of things. And right at the beginning of the sermon, Pastor Braden said this line from our value series, that we can do nothing of lasting power without the leading and empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself in John 15, verse 5 said, apart from me, you can do some things, nothing, right? If we want to make an impact, if we want our lives to mean something, if we want to be remembered for something here on earth, it begins with having our lives and our heart and our minds set and surrendered on the Holy Spirit. Amen? And Pastor Braden also taught us this, that the gifts are meant to reveal Christ for the common good. The purpose of the gifts are not to elevate ourselves, our own ego, or our own brand, but the purpose of the gifts is to reveal Jesus, to reveal his character, and to reveal his nature to others and to the world. Even when, and Jesus was the model for us in this. In Matthew 11, 27, Jesus himself said, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. And so in this verse, we see this pattern that Jesus's mission on earth wasn't actually even for himself either. His mission was to reveal the Father to the Israelites first, and now to the Gentiles, which we are now a part of. And we've talked about several different myths in this series as well. The first myth we've talked about is that the gifts are the mark of spiritual maturity. There is a difference between operating in the gifts and having good Christian character. These gifts were given to us as an inheritance from God that are meant to be used. But they are pointers, they're reminders, they're pointers to Christ, not to ourselves. And spiritual maturity is not defined by how well or how many gifts that we can operate in. Spiritual maturity is measured, as we'll talk about a little bit later, is actually measured by one thing, and that is love. The evidence of the spiritual life is not in our doing or in our activity, but in our identity. In all of Christian life, we first and foremost begin with who we are in Christ, and from that place of being and knowing who we are in Christ, we can then begin to operate and live out the qualities and the gifts and the abilities that God has placed inside of us. Our activity should flow from our identity. Myth number two was that the spiritual gifts are optional, not essential. The gifts are not an add-on to our faith. They are essential for living a spirit-filled and spirit-empowered life. Myth number three was that the spiritual gifts are for extraordinary moments. In times past, especially in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was poured out on certain people, certain individuals for certain tasks at certain moments, such as Samson in the Old Testament. But on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on all flesh, as it says, that it was given to, it was poured, the Spirit was poured out onto all flesh, meaning that the spiritual life, the spiritual gifts were not contained to a particular person, but they were given to all who believe in Christ. The spiritual gifts demonstrate God's presence, His power, and His reality. And without the spiritual gifts, it is impossible to fulfill the Great Commission. This is why it's so important for us to understand and use our gifts to reveal, so that we can reveal Christ to the world and fulfill the mission that He has placed us on. Myth number four, this is what Pastor Chris talked about last week. And I'd also encourage you all, if you missed one of the weeks, to go back and listen to them, because they were very, very helpful and very informative. Myth number four, the gifts make you a super Christian and give you value. Our value doesn't come from what we do. Our value comes from who we are in Christ. Our value was settled, Pastor Chris mentioned last week, at the cross, at the cost that Jesus paid for us. Your value does not depend on what you do. It depends on who you are in Christ. We also talked about how the work of the Holy Spirit is not transactional, that it's not just simply this mental activity that we do in our heads, but it's a life that is lived out through the use of the spiritual gifts. And the gifts of the Spirit are the tangible reminder of Jesus' promise that He said in Matthew 28, that I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so that's just a quick recap of the past 3 weeks. And as I mentioned at the start, today I want to guide us towards this question of what does this life look like? And if you have your Bibles with me, which I hope most of you do, or even just on your phone, because we're going to do a lot of flipping and a lot of clicking, we're going to look at the three main passages of the spiritual gifts, which with this great graphic in 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and Romans chapter 12. And we're going to start in Romans 12. And the reason why I want to look at these is because I'm interested to see if there is a particular structure or theme. Sometimes the one of the wonderful things about the Bible is that not just even in the chapters and verses, but the various books have been structured in intentional ways. And I think sometimes when we look at the structure of how certain passages are designed, we actually see a greater message, and we see the way that Scripture is God-breathed, and we see His wisdom behind it. And so these three passages, as I've been studying them this week, I've noticed some similar themes. And even though they're written to separate churches, for Paul, who is the writer of all of three of these sections, seems to be driving home important themes and important points in each of them when it comes to the spiritual gifts. And so I want to look at these three briefly. And so starting in Romans 12, Romans is in the New Testament of your Bible. The Bible is divided up into the two testaments, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament is about the law, the covenants, and the history of the people of Israel. And the New Testament talks about the writings and teachings of Jesus and the letters to the early church. So Romans chapter 12. Starting in verse 1, Paul writes this: I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And by testing, you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, hold that thought, and let's flip over to Ephesians chapter 4, just a few flips over. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 1. Paul says, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." The last passage, 1 Corinthians 12. Paul says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led." And so in each of these passages, I think we're going to kind of go through the structure entirely. But just looking at the introduction of each of these are sections that come before Paul's list of the various spiritual gifts in each of these letters. And so what I see, and which I hope you see as we kind of go through this, is that Paul opens each passage on the spiritual gift with a call of exhortation, with a call of encouragement. In Romans, he says that he's encouraging the believers in Rome to present their bodies as a living sacrifice. In 1 Corinthians, he doesn't want them to be uninformed. For Paul, it was very important to understand what the spiritual gifts were, but it was also just as important to understand how to use them properly so that when they are used improperly, we will notice them and be able to rectify that. And in Ephesians, he says, he encourages the believers to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. And so there's this encouragement, there's this exhortation coming before the list of spiritual gifts of, hey, pay attention. I have something that I'm going to tell you, but it's really important that you listen going forward. So he begins with a call of exhortation. The second call, Romans 12, starting in verse 4. "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. And so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individual members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith; if service, in our serving; to the one who teaches, in his teaching; to the one who exhorts, in his exhortation; to the one who contributes in generosity; the one who leads with zeal; and the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness." Now flip over to Ephesians 4. And we're going to see if there's any similar themes that pop up there. In Ephesians 4, starting in verse 4, he says, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift." And then going down to verse 11, he gives a list of gifts. He gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body. Do you notice a pattern between Romans and Ephesians even? That he's talking about the body. He's talking about, he gives a list of gifts, but before he gives a list of gifts, he wants the believers in each of these cities to understand that these gifts are not separate from the body. Sometimes especially in our culture, I believe it's easy for us to even get in this mindset of individualistic versus communal, right? We all individually have a relationship with God, but our relationship with God causes us to come together. And when we are together, we form the body of Christ. We are all members of one body. Yes, we have individual relationships, but we are called to not live outside of our relationship with each other. We're meant to live in community with each other. And spiritual gifts, I believe, are designed in this very same way. And so let's look at, quickly go to 1 Corinthians 12 again, starting in verse 12 this time. Paul says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we're all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many." And in verse 18, he says, "But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be?" In verse 27, he says, "Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it." And so each passage begins with a call of encouragement, call of exhortation, and then the second call is a call to unity and a call to the body, meaning each other. Spiritual gifts are not designed to be operated or used outside of the body, but when we use our spiritual gifts as the body, we actually reveal Christ more clearly to the world. And the last call that I see in all three of these passages, in Romans 12, starting in verse 9, after giving the list of gifts, Paul says, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection and outdo one another in showing honor." And flipping over to Ephesians 4, in verse 15, Paul says, "Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." And at the start of chapter 5, going down, Paul says, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Last passage in 1 Corinthians. This goes back to the teaching text that we read at the beginning. In chapter 13, which is a chapter right after Paul talks about spiritual gifts, talks about the body, he says, "If I speak in the tongues of men but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal." And gives a few more metaphors. And then jumping down to chapter 14, even Paul says, "Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts." And so in each of these three passages, I think there's a call to walk in the way of love. Maybe this is just me. Maybe this is just my brain being super obsessive and seeing things that's not actually there. But I think this is what I see in all three of these passages on the spiritual gifts, is Paul is urging his followers to take their walk, to take their discipleship to Jesus seriously. After the call of encouragement and exhortation, there is a call of unity and a call to the body, meaning, yes, I encourage you to be disciples, but also live your lives to serve one another. And out of serving one another, there's a call to love, a call to not just love from afar, but a call to actually walk out these spiritual gifts in love. The gifts are designed to reveal Christ. The gifts are designed to build up the body, which is the church. And the spiritual gifts are also to shape us into people of love. So what does a life look like that is transformed by the use of spiritual gifts? I believe, and throughout all the New Testament, you'll see examples that a life transformed by the spiritual gifts should motivate us to love one another. You might be thinking that is super simple. And it's like, yes, it is simple. It's the same message, the same principle that is repeated throughout the scripture over and over and over again, that we are to love God with our bodies, with our minds, with our hearts, with our souls. But we are also not just to love God, but we are to love one another. Amen? Some of you are just thinking of the breakfast sandwich still. I don't blame you. I'm thinking about it. So I believe this, the spiritual gifts, to try and combine all three of these themes, the spiritual gifts serve the body through love. And when the gifts are used improperly, I think there are three things that you can expect using the example of even the church in Corinth. When the spiritual gifts are used improperly, meaning not the correct way, you can expect and you will see disorder, disunity, and noise. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says that if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. And the reason he wrote this letter to the church in Corinth is that the church in Corinth was known to be very open to other traditions, other religions, and other philosophies even. And so it wasn't uncommon for them to, in their gatherings, to have people suddenly stand up and give a message of prophecy and or begin to speak in tongues where nobody could understand or interpret. And so they're very open to the Holy Spirit. They're very open to the spiritual gifts. But the problem that Paul saw was that there wasn't any order to the use of these spiritual gifts. I think it's important for us, especially from a Pentecostal and charismatic tradition, we should value and we should be open to the Holy Spirit, right? This is His church ultimately, and we want Him to be invited, and we want His gifts to be in operation in each and every one of us, right? Right? Yeah. Okay. Just making sure I'm in the right tradition. but at the same time, God is also a God of order. You see, even in creation, God ordered and created the world in 7 days. There's order in creation. And so spiritual gifts are available and we should receive them and we should use them, but there is order to them. And when the spiritual gifts are being used for selfish motives, for selfish ambition, you begin to see disunity and you begin to see disorder because people are just vying for attention. They're just using their spiritual gifts to boost their own ego, to boost their own brand, to boost their own success. And this was exactly what was happening in Corinth. And so Paul is passionately saying that, yes, there are gifts on offer by the Holy Spirit that God gives to us. But if we don't use our gifts in the way of love, we just are sounding like a noisy gong, a clanging cymbal. It's not enough, even if we have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith as to move mountains, I mean, I want all of those things. I want to be able to understand those things too, right? But if I have not love, I am nothing. And that can, to me, when I first read that, that's like, okay, Paul, that's really harsh, but at the same time, it's true, because the way that we use our gifts will eventually shape us and form us. And we want to be shaped and formed into people of love, first and foremost. And so when the gifts are used properly in the right way, in the right order, in the right function, what you can expect is, number one, order. Number two, unity. And number three, a genuine love for one another. And I believe these are the three examples that we see both in the scripture and even in the early church when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. When you read in Acts 2 what the early church was known for and what they what the reputation that they had even in their culture and even in their day was that they were using their gifts. They were using their gifts of preaching, of teaching, of shepherding, of caring, of administration, of leadership, of all of these things to actually serve their community, to serve one another. The scriptures say that they shared all things in common. And when I, this may be classic, but when I read Acts 2, 42 to 47, I'm always struck by the example that the early church set for us. That they were people marked by love for one another because they ultimately believed in the message of Jesus and the message of the cross. Even Jesus himself, the man who was both God, both fully human and fully God, he performed many signs, performed many wonders, performed many miracles. Jesus used his spiritual gifts to help people, to encourage people. But Jesus' greatest act on this earth was not healing somebody, wasn't even his preaching and teaching. It wasn't that he walked on water. Jesus' greatest act was his self-sacrifice, his act to give up his life for us and to give up his life for one another. His greatest act here on earth was an act of love. And it's that act of love that has shaped both the church and shaped the world and changed history as we know it, right? It wasn't just his use of gifts. It was that he was marked by the love that his Father had for him and the love that the Father and him had for us, that he was willing to come down from heaven to be incarnate into a human body and to live this life and to show us what it truly meant to be fully human and fully God. He demonstrated what it looked like for us to use our spiritual gifts, but to use it in the way of love. He embodied it for us. You see, the spiritual gifts won't last forever. There is a time coming that when Jesus returns, that the spiritual gifts will no longer be needed. Why? Because the spiritual gifts, number one, are to reveal Christ to the world. We use the spiritual gifts because we want more people to come to know Jesus. But when Jesus comes back to restore his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven, the spiritual gifts won't be necessary. You won't take your spiritual gifts into eternity, but you will take who you have become. And so, spiritual gifts are designed to shape us into people of love because that's who we're actually going to take with us into eternity. Just as the first myth in this series was that the gifts of the Spirit are the mark of spiritual maturity, I believe to conclude this entire series on the spiritual life, I want to say this, that the mark of true spiritual maturity is love. Jesus himself said to his disciples that in John 15, speaking to his disciples, but speaking about how the world would know them, that they will know you, the world will know you by how well you love one another. He told his disciples, the world will not know you by your bold preaching, Peter, even on the day of Pentecost that you got up there and you proclaimed boldly, the world won't be drawn by that. The world will be drawn by how well we love one another. And that involves using our spiritual gifts, but that's not the point. The point is for us to become people of love, to become people that are so marked by the message of Jesus, by his gospel, and by what he is doing here on earth, that we actually use our spiritual gifts to serve one another, to serve the body, to serve the world, and to become the people that he has called us to be. The mark of spiritual maturity is love. And I'm going to invite the worship team and the prayer team to come up as we close here. And in closing, I just want to kind of talk about myself for a little bit. That I believe that there are gifts that God has given to me, spiritual gifts that I've received from him. And some of those gifts, as I've learned and as I've walked with him, I've learned have been gifts of preaching, of teaching, and of shepherding. And I'll be honest, there were times when I served his church, when I served as a youth leader not many years ago, I'm not that old, a few years ago, which is still a very fond memory in my life. I saw God move in a lot of ways, a lot of amazing ways that both shaped myself and shape the students that I was leading and overseeing. But there were times when I would use the gifts to just boost my own ego. Just being honest. But in those times when I would use them to boost my own ego, what I would notice and what would happen inside of me was that it would cause me to become self-centered. It caused me to become selfish, and I started to care about things that weren't things that God cared about. That I cared too much about what people thought about me. I cared too much about success. That I cared too much about looking good or styling my hair in a particular way. Those were things that started to happen both in my heart and in my mind and in my spirit when I used the gifts improperly. It was very easy for me to just become bitter. And I had to look at myself and I had to check my heart and I had to say both with God and myself that I'm not using these gifts the way that they're meant to be used. I'm using them in a selfish way. And when I allowed the Holy Spirit into my heart, and when I surrendered these gifts back to him, because ultimately he is the owner of them, I'm not the owner of these gifts. I'm simply a steward of these gifts. When through the help of the Holy Spirit, I began to steward these gifts to serve the church and to build up his body, it began to lead me more into a life marked by the love that Jesus had for me and his church. And what that looked like practically was that I didn't care about what people thought about me. I didn't care about what people would say about me. What I cared about was, who is the Holy Spirit highlighting to me in this particular moment? And I felt this freedom to use my gifts of preaching and of teaching and of shepherding to contribute to the body and to help people understand what the Bible is and how we can apply it and how we can use it today. And through the gift of shepherding, I'm able to show people the heart of the Father, to show people that God cares about us and God cares about our every need. And so I want to use my gifts to serve the church and to build his mission. I don't want to use my gifts anymore to serve myself and to serve my own ego, but I want to be a person that is shaped by his love and his love alone. Does anyone else want to be shaped by his love? Yeah? Amen. And so I invite you to stand as we close here. And again, if you are sensing anything on your heart from the Holy Spirit, I want to encourage you that there are prayer teams available on the side here that would love to pray with you and to pray for you. So Holy Spirit, Father God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your love. Thank you that you loved us with an unconditional love, that you gave your body as a living sacrifice to us, Lord. And I pray that we would be people marked by your love. I pray that as we use our spiritual gifts, that we would use them to serve you, to reveal you, and that you, through your Holy Spirit, would shape us into people of love, that we would be marked by your love, and that we would use our spiritual gifts that you have given us, freely given us, to serve your body. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to Hope Unveiled. If you're interested in learning more about what you heard today, or if you would like us to pray for something specific for you, we invite you to connect with us on our website, sunrise.ca.